All right, so here is, for those of you that were at the orientation last week, one of the things that we talked about was the format. One of the first things that we're going to do is we're going to do the welcome. And then there's going to be, if we can get all the testimonies queued up, there's going to be a testimony. Today it's going to be mine, okay? And I'm going to share some things with you because I want you to understand how incredible it is for me that I stand here because I remember where I came from, okay? And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you can find yourself in my story a little bit, and you say, you know what? We're a lot further along than this guy was, and that's praise God. So we're going to do the testimony, and then we're going to go into some documents and some other things. So here is a brief primer of me. My name is Sasha Milligan. I'm 47 years old. I came to Syracuse at the ripe old age of being green, 22, after having graduated from college. I grew up in a military family. My dad was a 22-year U.S. Army veteran. We lived in Germany. I lived in Germany for 15 years. And when I left high school, I left Germany. My parents still live there. And I came over to the United States, moved to Memphis, Tennessee, earned my bachelor's degree, and always had this desire to come to Syracuse University. Those of you that are from this community know about Pan Am Flight 103. That was the first time I ever saw Syracuse University because all the news media was all over the campus and they were streaming it all over the world. And I was like, yes, it was tragedy, but gosh, look at that campus. I'd really like to go there one day. And the Lord had his way. Graduated from undergrad, didn't really know what I was going to do. I was not an American citizen. I was a German citizen, German national, because my parents never filed for citizenship with the consulate. And I was looking for a job. And the first job that came available was Syracuse University. Lo and behold, I went to a conference. Syracuse interviewed me. They wanted me. I was one of their top recruits to work in residence life. I worked in student housing. And I had a vision to go to grad school. And that vision was birthed in me from my academic advisor from undergrad, at Dr. Rex Enick at the University of Memphis. He said, you should go to Maxwell. This is pre-internet. I don't even know what Maxwell is. So I come to Syracuse. One of the guys that's interviewing me, he's a Maxwell student. And they start talking to me about the Maxwell School and the history of it and the lore of it and everything else. And I was like, okay, praise God. So for 2 years, I would walk by Maxwell Hall and Eggers Hall, and I'd say, Father God, I thank you that I'm a graduate of that school. And then I'd go on to my business on campus. And then on my way back, I'd say, Father God, I thank you that I'm a graduate of that school, which means I have to be admitted, I have to have the grades, I have to have the test scores, I have to have the money, and then I have to pass the academic rigors and graduate. Well, 2 years later, I applied to Maxwell. I got in. I got a full ride, and a year later, I was a graduate of that program. And it's amazing. Now, the reason I say this to you is because I only came to know the Lord when I was in college. I was a sophomore in college. I grew up in a very devout, traditional Catholic family. We went to church maybe 3-4 times a year. Not saying that's typical. It's probably atypical, but that's who we were. And then I decided to not go. My mom wasn't forcing me to go, so I just didn't go. But when I got to college, and you know, the difference between Europe and the United States is that there is no drinking age. There is no age to go to bars. There's no age to go to clubs. So I was doing this stuff when I was 15. And then when I got here to college, I was like, why is everybody abusing this stuff so bad? And that just turned me off. And at that point in time, the Lord just basically started pulling me in, came to the kingdom, gave all that stuff up. And there were some things that happen that are part of our Christian culture, per se, that were very easy for me, okay? Tithing was extremely easy for me. Walking according to faith, extremely easy to me. Thank God. But then I had my moment. And this is where I want to cue in on for this session. My moment was, here I am, I'm 24 years old. I just graduated with a master's degree, didn't pay a dime for it. It's ranked number one in its field, and the Lord says, I want you to stay in Syracuse. Now, all my peers, they're headed down to D.C. because they all have jobs, okay? All getting paid six figures, and I'm like, Lord, why am I staying in Syracuse? And some of you may have heard this testimony before. So I'm like, okay, I'll go, and we have a predisposition for working for the government. And then I went to Onondaga County, and they had a hiring freeze. I went to the city of Syracuse, they had a hiring freeze. They weren't hiring anybody. So what do you do with this degree in the city that recognizes this degree and nobody wants to hire you? You start looking for jobs. So I went out and looked for jobs. No, you're overqualified. No, you're not going to stay here that long. We don't want to train you. It got bad. So I went down, and some of you may remember out back over on the corner of Erie Boulevard and Thompson Road. I lived in the apartments right behind that called the Mark Steven. There's three little buildings. One day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk down here to the corner. I'm going to go to Outback, and I'm going to say, look, I'll be a server. I'll be a busboy. I need to pay rent. My roommate just got engaged. He's going to leave. I'm in trouble, okay? And they were like, we can't give you this job because you're not going to stay. And I was like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do here, Lord. I need funds. I need to be able to pay housing, okay, gas. So he brought me back to an experience that I had when I was an undergrad at Memphis. I used to work third shift at the front desk of a residence hall, and we would sign in delivery packages, and when people came into the building, we'd sign them in and we'd sign them out. Co-ed did not exist in Memphis, and it still doesn't, okay? It is the Bible Belt, okay? And every morning about 3:30, there was this guy that would come in with a stack of newspapers, and he'd put them in a machine. And I'd say hi to him every morning. And the Lord brought me back to that, and he was like, post-standard, go deliver newspapers. So, yours truly was a paper boy at the age of 24 with an MPA degree, ranked number one, with zero income. And I was like, okay, I don't get this, Lord. What's this? I didn't even need to graduate from high school to deliver newspapers, okay? And yours truly was out, if you remember the Labor Day storm, I was up on Tip Hill that morning, okay? Running, jumping over trees that fell, being chased by dogs, being rained on. It was just Saturday nights, people that were out partying because the party just wouldn't end. By 3 o'clock in the morning, I would see them. They were my demographic, and I'm out there delivering newspapers. But I learned something from that, and I thank God for that experience. I did that for 10 months as my only source of income. What I learned from that was faithfulness, consistency. Because newspaper delivery people, $25 when you don't have an income coming in is a very big deal. And every week you had an opportunity to earn a $25 bonus. How did you get your bonus? Have zero complaints. How do you make sure you don't have complaints? Well, on this 250, 300 residential house, and it wasn't house to house to house, it was this house and the one across the street and the one up the block around the corner, people would tell you and specify where they wanted their papers. I would like my paper on my front step. I would like my paper on my back porch. I want my paper on top of the milk can. I want my paper between my screen door and my front door. And woe unto you if your paper wasn't there, because the moment it wasn't, you would get a complaint, and there goes your $25. And $25 is a big deal when you're only getting paid 12 cents a paper, okay? 10 months, glory to God. I sit back and I laugh at it, and I'm just thankful for it. God prospered me, he blessed me. And the reason I say that is because for me, that's the ultimate humble beginning for my story. I don't know what humble beginning it is for your story. I don't know where you find yourself today. But I can tell you, for me, this was an extremely blessed time. I would come to church on Sundays here, And I would have extra Sunday papers. Now, how many people like the Sunday paper? It has all the coupons and all the ads and all. I would come to the information desk and I would bring like 30 extra Sunday newspapers for free. And I'll never forget, and I remember who it is, and I will never go back and talk to this person about this. But I remember one Sunday, there was a sister in Christ who walks up to me and she says, Sasha, she goes, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She goes, what is someone like you with a master's degree doing delivering newspapers? Oh, you cut me. Okay, you cut me, okay? Why do I tell you that part of the testimony? People close to you may not understand what you're about to do. They just don't understand. They don't necessarily see God's vision for what he has for you. He doesn't. They don't understand the path and the footsteps that are ordained for you to walk through. People look at me today, and they want to get advice from me. But I laugh because I'm sitting back saying, you know, from 1997, 22 years ago, I'm just a paper boy that God promoted. That's who I am. I don't forget that beginning. And along the way, I've learned some things, I've applied some things that have made a fundamental change in my life. And with that, I'm going to end it. I will say something else, and I didn't bring my PowerPoint. Maybe I'll bring it into next week. And I'll talk about humble beginnings as well, about tithing. I said it was something that came to me very easily. There has not been a single campaign at Abundant Life Christian Center. I found Abundant Life the first weekend I moved to Syracuse. It was God, because it was a little small church up there on Fly Road. I went to a different church. My spirit was grieved, but the man who was ministering had a pastor's heart. He came to me, he goes, you look like you don't fit in. I was like, I'm used to something different. And he goes, there's another great ministry in town. He goes, it's called Abundant Life. Excuse me. He goes, my wife and I used to attend there. I said, where is it? Okay, he told me. I went home, I got my map out. It's C-12, and I'm triangulating. It's right out. Okay, I'm like, okay. You know, no Google, no phones, no GPS, okay? It used to be print documents. Okay, and I drove out to Abundant Life. It was my third day in Syracuse, and because I came up on a Friday, that Sunday I went to the other ministry. He told me about it. I drove immediately out, and when I got there, I parked my car in the parking lot. I saw Pastor John and his armor bearer at the time, Elder Hank, coming out. I accosted Pastor John, and I basically asked him some questions. I said, what do you teach about this? What are your tenets of faith about that? What's this? Because I recognized that I needed to be under a covering. And what this part of the testimony is going to be cued into what we're about to talk about. Okay. So because of that, when I go back to tithes and offerings, one of the things I'm going to share with you on next week is where I started. Okay. I started in Memphis. It was the first thing. I went to Peyton Temple. In Memphis, I'd never heard what tithing was, didn't know, didn't care. They said, that's what believers do. So I wrote checks. Some of you may remember what those are, okay? In preparing for another session like this for the young adults, the Lord had me go back and look at some of my old check registers. I love check registers. And I found the check register that contained the first tithe that I ever made. That blesses me. And then as I was going through the check register, and it was only like, you know, I'm going to tell you where I was. I don't come from a wealthy family. You can see in my check register, and I'll show you the picture maybe next week. My check register went negative. Then there's the non-sufficient funds charge, $20, okay? Then there's the, you know, the kid that mom and dad can't get rid of. Mom's money shows up for $150 to bail me out, okay? Then there's my $13.21 tithe check, okay? And I've got register photo after register photo after register photo after register photo to show you that. I like showing that because that's my story. And in that check register, you'll see all of the, for those of you that have been here for a while, you'll see the campaigns, okay? There was the Possess the Land campaign. That campaign was a campaign that we launched that purchased the 100 acres here that we're sitting on right now. Then there was the Arise to Build campaign. And then there was, I don't even remember how many campaigns we had. We had a bunch of them. But what blesses me is that as part of my history, I've been manifested in every one of those campaigns. And that ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. So I mentioned last week in the orientation, the only reason that I have any measure of success, whatever and however you want to define it, is because of two things. One, I allowed God to be God. And two, I've stayed close to the church. That's it. I work hard, but you know what? There's a lot of people who work harder than me. I'm smart, I guess, but I know there's a lot of people who are smarter than me. But the two things that are intangibles is I allow God to be who God is, and I stay close to the church. That's it. So let's get into it. Pastor's been talking about mindsets. And all a mindset is how we think. I'm not going to go into his teaching and what he taught, but I love it. It makes a material difference, and it connects dots in my mind. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, what are the mindsets that we have present here tonight? Okay? Some of you may have, however you define it, bad credit. It comes from a mindset. Some of you may want to buy a home, and there's a mindset that's driving that. Some of you may believe that, you know, you're sitting here and that your retirement account is underfunded, or you're thinking about, you know, man, I previously filed bankruptcy, or I think I have to file bankruptcy, or I may not have enough health insurance, or, you know, I'm in the debt up to my eyeballs, or, you know, my car needs servicing and I don't know how I'm going to do that with all these other things I have to do, or, you know, your business is running great, but your profitability isn't hitting the measures that you would normally forecast for yourself. Or, you know, you're sitting back and you're taking a look at this tithing thing. Lord, my heart says I want to, but I just can't figure this thing out. I can't do it. I can't fit that in, Lord. I'm not there. Those are all mindsets. They're all mindsets. One of the things that I did, and I don't know if I have enough. I hope I brought them. Is I came up with we'll do it next week. I came up with a scenario of a budget, okay? And I don't want to be presumptive, and I don't want to inflate or deflate anybody's perspective. So what I did was I went ahead and I took a look at a household or an individual that makes approximately $40,000. And I go through the process, and I'll give it out as a handout, but I go through the process to say, here are some real-life expenses that this person or this household have, okay? We know if they have a mindset of doing retirement that there's a percentage there that's going pre-tax. We know that if we're citizens of this country, you know, our government has a mindset that there's a certain percentage of money that they're going to take from your check, regardless if you like it or not. And for the pleasure of living in New York State, we know that there's a mindset that they're going to take out. And then there's this issue of pre-tax deductions called medical, dental, other. All these different things are reinforcements of mindsets. Your mindset of having this stuff is because you value it. That's it. But it all shows up in this number. And at the end of the day, there's the leftover. There's the remnant. And it's a far cry from that. And then, here's a challenging mindset. You come to the place where you've been, you know, in the kingdom for a little while, and you've heard pastor or any number of pastors or people on staff here, and they get up on Sunday, and it's offering time. And then we start talking about the tithe. Well, after we've already done all this, and that's been cut down to here, really? But Lord, wait a minute. I've got rent. I've got a mortgage. I got NIMO. Used to be NIMO. I've got gas. I've got insurance. I've got cell phone. Let's not go there. Car note, okay? Car insurance, okay? Anybody like to eat? Okay, we got groceries, okay? Okay. Lord, you know, I'm the one working all the time. Can I have a couple dollars just for recreation, okay, or entertainment, okay? I didn't even mention cable, okay? And Lord, when I take a look at this, all of this is greater than this, even before this sometimes. I can't do that, Lord. That's a mindset. Now, I'm not here to tell you what you have to do. I'm not, okay? That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm free from that. I've been liberated. But what I can tell you is that these principles work. I can tell you, as a semi-quasi-educated man, the math does not equal. I don't understand kingdom math. I don't, okay? I just don't. But I love it. I love it. It does not compute. And this is, for many of you, this is going to be where the rubber hits the road. Because this comes down to one word, trust. Do you trust him? And this is important on your personal side of your business household. It's even more important when you start launching out into the area of other streams of income and businesses. Do you trust him? If you haven't trusted him with the little, it's a fallacy to think that you're going to be trusting him with more. It's not going to happen. So what we're going to talk about, and this is my charge, and I'm just going to put it out there. If God starts to speak to you during these workshops, during the next 10 weeks, because we're going to get into some real life issues. I mentioned it to the folks that were here. I see some new people today. This is not going to be the workshop where we're going to get out our Bibles and we're going to crack them open and we're going to go through the, no. This is not, no, that's not me, okay? This is rubber hitting the road, practical wisdom stuff, okay? And if the Lord starts speaking to you, write things down. Write them down. Because we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. I mentioned last week, and I just mentioned them very briefly. We're going to talk about your credit, individual credit, business credit. We're going to talk about taxes. We're going to talk about legal documents. Okay, we're going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about stewardship and accounting. We're going to talk about real life issues. If you want to see measurable growth, there's a practical side that we need to understand. But at the end of the day, devoid of this, your math will not equal. God's math will, but at any rate. So what I'd like to do to start off today is I'll come back, we'll do that another day. I'd like to just introduce you guys to where we all are. We're in Egypt. We're getting ready to cross into Canaan. I'm here to proclaim to you, Moses is dead. Okay? He's dead. Okay? He's gone. So everything that you knew before, those previous mindsets, you may have to let go. You've got to embrace something new to get you to operate and occupy the place that you're supposed to occupy and operate it. So the first thing that I came up with, and tonight there's only 4 points. The first one is recognize the anointing. And my title for tonight is actually called Kingdom Advance. What do I mean by recognize the anointing? For those of you who are much more studious in the scriptures than I am, you'll know that the reference goes back to the Old Testament when Aaron was anointed with oil. Okay? And it's early on, and after Aaron, every head priest was anointed. And it's recounted in the book of Psalms. So I'm only going to give you a couple scripture verses. It says, Psalms 133, verse 2, it says, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments." And one of the things that I gave reference to this last week, this is why I believe, this is not new doctrine, don't crucify me, this is just what I believe, okay? Let's just qualify that. This is one of the reasons why I believe it's important to stay close to the ministry. Because the anointing that's on the head will flow down to the rest of the body, okay? I don't know where I am. I may not be on the face. I may be on the elbow. I may be down here on the toes. I don't care. The anointing that is on the head will flow to every part of the body. And one of the things I looked up was Dr. K in his commentary. He says, the high priest at his consecration was a type and symbol of unity. He bore on his breastplate the names of the 12 tribes, so that the holy oil, typical of the grace of God, when it was poured upon him, flowed down on all the tribes, diffusing everywhere an odor of fragrance. The high priest represented the entire body of Israel, all 12 tribes. The anointing that is on the head of this ministry flows onto the membership, every person that is connected and who is staying close to this ministry. Why do I think that's significant? I'm going to give you some examples. This ministry has an anointing upon it. You've got to be blind and deaf not to know that abundant life is a blessed place. Not only because we confess it all the time, but just stick around for a little bit. But what is it about abundant life in terms of how the anointing is manifested? It's entrepreneurial. There is an entrepreneurial spirit on this body. Period. Why do I say that? This ministry has purchased over 100 acres here. We got more in Africa. We got more in other places. It's begun a textile school. Some of you may not know this. It's begun a medical clinic. It's rebuilt a home library in the public educational system. It's founded an orphanage. It formed an international NGO, non-governmental organization. It's remodeled buildings. It started up other nonprofits. This ministry has an anointing to write books. And it has started multiple mentor programs. From nothing. The Word of God, we're going to apply it, and boom, it starts to happen. That's entrepreneurial. Why do I think that's significant? Because you all are here. I know that pastors talked about the law of sympathetic resonance, that when there's a message with the grand piano, you strike a chord, it starts to vibrate, that message, that same level of anointing, that same entrepreneurial spirit is resident in most of our congregation. The question is, what are you doing with it? There is an anointing on you to start to get your household in order and to start businesses, nonprofits, writing books, clinics, textile schools, mentor programs, and this stuff is happening. To me, and I'm not gonna take anything away from my buddy John, who we see everywhere now. He's blowing up. How many people love John? You know who I'm talking about, right? In my father's kitchen, John Tamino. What did John do? He had a pizza shop. Lord stirred him to start a restaurant. Started a restaurant, entrepreneurial. Lord told him to put that aside, start a nonprofit, start ministering to the needy. It's blowing up, entrepreneurial. Do you see any similarities? the same exact things that the ministry has been doing for years are starting to manifest themselves in the body. What's amazing to me is that when I walk around in the lobby sometimes, and I'm just, you know, I keep to myself. I really do, okay? I love people, but I really keep to myself. But there's some people that I know, and some people come like, hey, man, you know what? How you doing? Oh, man, I've been busy, brother. I was like, really? What's going on? Well, I've been writing this book. Really? Do you know how many times people have told me that they're in the process of writing books right now? It's ridiculous. You give me the same group of 100 people out in the public, nobody's writing. They're not even reading, okay? But people are writing children's books and how-to books, and it's amazing what's happening. But unless you're tuned in and unless you're aware of what's going on and why it's going on, you may miss it. My question to you all is simply this. What is God telling you to do? Because it may be some things that the ministry's already done, or maybe it's about to launch and you don't even know it yet. That's the question that I want you guys to think about. The anointing, the entrepreneurial spirit that is on this ministry for words that were inspired from heaven, for us to manifest here, not only congregationally, but individually. And we will see that same level of success. And God will honor his word and our faithfulness. And one of the reasons why is because that anointing is just flowing down. It's finally getting to where you are. You can't help it. You don't have to do anything else about it. You just have to steward the vision that God has given you. So I believe that all things are possible. And it's not because of how hard you work. I told you, people work harder than me. There's a whole lot of people smarter than me. Okay? But you know what? It's God's vision. And then everybody's not going to honor it. Everybody's not going to see it through. The question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to follow the ministry's example of obedience to God's word and following through on his anointing? I want to see a couple years down the road what happens from the folks here. And it may not necessarily be you, but it may be you because you said something to somebody else and encouraged somebody else. Sometimes you're the seed, sometimes you're the water, sometimes you're the harvester. I don't know where you're going to be. But I'm really excited about what's happening. Last week we talked a little bit about what's happening in Syracuse in terms of economic development and some of the other things that are going on. But economic development is great. I want to see the kingdom advance, because one of the other things that's happening with this anointing that's happening on this church is that because of obedience and because the ministry has been consistently launching these things that it's been called to do, it's growing an influence. It's growing an influence in City Hall. It's growing an influence in Albany. It's growing influence in the county. Well, that needs to happen for us too. It's one thing for Pastor John to show up and say, you know what, this is what we're, you know, the congregation thinks. It's another thing for 50, 100, 200 other business leaders that sit back and say, you know what, we've got that same vision. We don't like the way this is going. This is what we represent within this community. And let our influence and voices be heard as well. It's amazing what can happen. And that's what God's about. We don't have to take over government. I'm a student of government. I don't even want to be in government. I just want to influence it. I want to influence it. So let's keep going. So here's the question I have for you. I will do this now, real quickly. What I'd like to do is if we can go based on two rows. So one row, two row, one group, two group, three group, four. I'd like for you guys to get in the small groups for a second and just share for the next 5 minutes. Is your primary focus here in this workshop individual or business? I just want to get a sense of that. So these two tables right here, split here. I'm going to have you come on to the side, okay? Everybody, is that clear, what I want you to do? Okay, cool. Take 5 minutes, and we're going to come back. Okay. I want to try to get everybody to refocus again. So let me ask a couple questions, okay? By a show of hands, was the conversation mostly individual, personal? How many people were business-minded and oriented? Okay, how many people a little bit of both? Okay, praise God. Well, I like it. Okay, so here's the deal. So I've made my case now in terms of one of my core convictions and my core beliefs, that the reason that we're all being stirred, and I'm being stirred, okay, I will tell you right now, I'm stirred ridiculously. And I'm like, okay, is that really me, Lord? Is that you? Is that what's going on? Because I got a lot of stuff going on. And the Lord just keeps pouring stuff out. What about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm like, let me put that on the shelf. And I want to, before I get into these next three points, I want to let you know there's nothing wrong, like Pastor always talks about, with putting things on the shelf. If it's God, it'll keep. It has an eternal shelf life, okay? If you know it's a bunch of garbage, like I'll just, in the interest of full disclosure, okay, I'm just going to be real. I had a thought years ago, and I was chomping at the bit. I'll give you a little bit more of my background. I told you my dad was in the military, and one of the things that he did in the military was club management. Okay, he ran the officers club and the NCO club. So when I was in elementary school, after school, I would take the bus, I'd go to the club, I'd go downstairs into the basement, I'd do my homework on the bar, the bartender would give me my Shirley Temple. I grew up in clubs, okay? So a couple years ago, 18 years ago, there was this building that was available on the west side. And I was like, I could open up a nightclub here for real, okay? And I was like, it would be a Latin club right next to the Latin community. We would set it off, okay? And I was like, no, Lord, is that me? Is that you? Is that me? You know. So sometimes you put that on the shelf, okay? I'm just like, no. And then eventually it found its way to the trash can. But anyway, the point is, there are going to be ideas that you're going to need to vet. And some of those ideas need to go on the shelf. And some things that, you know, if you're spiritually mature enough to sit back and say, no, that's just trash, I'm not doing it, okay? And then there's going to be other things that you're going to sit back and like, I got to do this today. And it's going to be on your plate, okay? And when you get ready to launch into that, I think there are three key components that every entrepreneur needs to understand. And these are examples of the ministry. I'm going to tell you, I carbon copy everything I get from this church. Okay? I stayed close. So we're going to talk about one of them that's going to happen next week, or actually this Sunday, okay? Because you're going to find out about that next week. There is nothing new under the sun. The path of success is pretty clear. You just got to follow it. And you have to be able to discern what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And from my perspective, it's always been, if the ministry's going to do it, I'm good. Okay, bless you. So here's one of the first principles, and there's three that I'm going to talk about tonight. Number one, DIY. We'll get to it. Don't worry. Okay. Number two, conspiracy. And number three, financial integrity. If you're going to launch into getting your own personal financial household in order, or you're going to go ahead and start activating and exercising some of the ideas that the Lord is giving you, you're going to struggle with those three things. I promise you that. So what do I mean? DIY. Do it yourself. Okay, it's all the craze, especially with millennials. Okay, oh my gosh, I mean, we get research reports on millennials all the time, and I'm just like, really? They believe that? They believe that they can, you know, go on YouTube and have their own channel and start using certain shampoos for their hair and start getting people following, and all of a sudden they get paid. And it happens. It's crazy. Okay, and they think that's how things are going to be from now on. Okay. The rest of us, on the other hand, just don't see it that way. But DIY it's the rave. I mean, there's entire television networks designed around home improvement, car restoration. I want some of these people to come and hook my lawn up, okay? You know, remodeling and refurbishing stuff and, you know, going to the junkyard and finding something for $10 and putting an hour's worth of labor into it and selling it for $400. Who does that? Okay, seriously. But it's happening. And DIY, when you're thinking about your own personal financial situation or you're thinking about launching a business, can be an asset, but it also can be a hindrance. So I'm going to give you some hindrances as an example. Okay, a farmer. The entire kingdom revolves around the sowing of the seed. A farmer does not go out and plant their own seed, water their own seed, and then after planting and watering, sits back and says, you know what? I need to go get my pilot's license because I need to spray my own pesticides. And I need to go out and buy my own plane. They don't do that. That would be foolish. They focus instead on what their core objective is. They know those crops. They know those fields. They know weather patterns. They know, like, you know, it's always amazing to me, you know, in Florida, when there's a frost coming in the citrus, they come out there with all these sheets and they got these heat blow. I'm like, who stores all these sheets? But they know their business. But they're not going to do things that they can outsource and utilize other people's knowledge, other people's talents, other people's resources for the benefit of their own organization or their business. And one of the things that we're going to need to do individually and professionally is identify what is our core mission. What are our core competencies? What do we have the ability to do? And what is it just not worth our time to do? Okay? So I'll give you an example. When I first started in, you know, we'll talk a little bit about this when we get to the real estate session. I am a real estate investor. And when I first started out, I used to do everything. Man, I'm a bad man. You may not think about me like that, but I'm a bad man. I can do electrical, I can do plumbing, I can do drywall, I can do flooring, I can put in windows, I can do insulation, I can, what you want? Frame it? Got it. I can do it all. Do you know how much time it took me to do all this stuff and learn it all, okay? And I learned it by tearing about my house, okay? And that was not a pleasant sight. But today, I said, man, let me call somebody, okay? I don't want to do that mess anymore, okay? My time is worth more. I've gotten to the place where I realize that I can think about ways of making money in the time that I'm trying to do is save $20, okay? In your own individual personal household and in the businesses that you all want to launch, you're going to struggle with that. And I'm not saying it's a zero-sum game. It's not. Sometimes you may be right here because of economic factors. I encourage people who are new investors, let's just say, and I coach a lot of people, you need to learn how to do your own electrical for a little bit. You need to learn how to do your own plumbing because the moment in time you go ahead and call a contractor and they say $2,000, and you're like, that's a $50 job, okay? I can't pay you, okay? You need to understand your business. You need to get to the level that you understand it so that way when you do take a step back and outsource it, you're getting value, okay? So this is a continuum. You're moving backwards and forwards, but the objective at some point in time is I'm going to focus all my energies on my core. The ministry didn't go out when we were getting ready to buy this land and put up the building. We didn't, you know, pastor and company didn't say, okay, we need to go take a surveyor class. Let's figure out how to survey this land. Are you serious? No. We had builders that we could talk to that were members of the congregation. We used our resources. Do it yourself is a trap. And the trap... OCD. I need control. That's the trap. And if your business or if your personal finances, if you're in a married situation, is solely focused on you and you can't incorporate another person's opinions, you're trapped because you have control. You can't have unity that way. You've got to address that head on, and you got to think about, where are you and how do I go? Just like that farmer. That farmer's not going to go out and buy a plane, learn how to fly just to spray pesticides. They're not going to do it. Number two, conspiracy. There was an outstanding, one of my probably, I mean, I can't even say top 10, top 50, top 100. I've been here for so long. I heard so many messages from Pastor. But he had a message, go to the powers that be and ask them if you can, called Divine Conspiracy. Oh, my gosh. Just saying it is awesome. And when we typically say the word conspiracy, most people think about it in a negative way. There's always somebody out to get me. There's always something around the corner that's trying to hold me down. There's always something. And Pastor flipped that upside down. And he said, there's a divine conspiracy for your good. Regardless of what you do, there's something positive that's going to come out of it. All things work together for the good. Amen. So when you apply and you step out in faith, embracing the vision that God has given you, yes, there will be challenges. Yes, there are going to be obstacles. Yes, there are going to be people that are going to put stumbling blocks in your way to slow you down. Because crabs in a bucket don't like anybody getting out of the bucket. Let's just be real. But there is a divine conspiracy that is at work. It may not necessarily be visible to your eyes, but the spiritual is more real than the natural. That is working for your good. And you have to have that mindset in your mind about what you're doing for your business and for your household. I think about, you know, I can't really say that I'm risk averse, but I'm in awe of this ministry. I really am. Do you know how hard it is to start a nonprofit? It's not easy. Do you know how hard it is to start a non-government organization in Africa? Are you serious? Okay, with all the corruption that goes on over there and, you know, the laws that aren't in the governments that change and all this kind of international standards. I'm like, man, to push through that because you had a vision for an orphanage, to go ahead and dot all those T's and how many times that they have to fly over and meet with people and the rules may have changed and all that kind of stuff, to finally, when Pastor announced, we got it. That's huge. That's the anointing that's here in this house. That's the anointing that is flowing down to you. Regardless of what those obstacles are, regardless of how many times the rules change, regardless of how many times there is extortion. Anybody ever been extorted? I've been extorted. Okay, I'll give you an example. I was righteously indignant. I flew to Asia, to a third world country, and I got there, and there was this customs agent sitting here just like you are, and I'm walking up. I'm like, I'm just going to take my bag. I'm going to go through, and we're going to be good. And the person sits there, he goes, so it was during the holiday season. So he's sitting there. He goes, so, sir, did you bring any gifts? I'm like, yeah, we brought some gifts for some family members and everything else. He goes, so, sir, did you bring any gifts? He wasn't asking me to give him one, but he was telling me, you're going to pay me something or you're going to give me something before you can get into the country, okay? And I was sitting there like, I ain't bring you nothing, okay? Okay. And then somebody in my family was like, oh, I got this, okay, because you won't be able to get through. You know, so he gave him some money, and then we could pass through. Crazy. Extortion. The rules are not the same overseas. The rules aren't necessarily the same here for everybody. Women, you may have some challenges that you shouldn't have. Minorities, you may have some challenges that you probably shouldn't have. White men, you may have some challenges that you probably shouldn't have as a backlash to all the other stuff that's going on. Guess what? So what? Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. All things work together for the good. Period. You've got to have this divine conspiracy on lock in your mind. Because this is a mental challenge. So you got your OCD issues, and you got your mental challenges. And all you're trying to do is honor what God says he's telling you to do. And to give birth and give rise to the vision that he's given you. You got OCD issues, and you got mental issues. The book of Jeremiah says in 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In the book of Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You have to know that. Not head knowledge, heart knowledge. It has to be resolved, because every day, a couple times a day, there are going to be opportunities for you to walk away and say it's not worth it. I'm telling you, it is worth it. It's worth it, and it's real. The anointing is real. What God is speaking to you is real. You just have to press on. Now, here's the third thing. Financial integrity. Now, this is tough, okay? I'll admit. We talked a little bit about the tithing thing a little bit earlier, so I'm not going to belabor that point. But it's a biggie. Pastor often says, major on the majors, minor on the minors. Okay? Tithing is not a minor. It's a major. If you don't tithe, the devourer is there in your finances. Period. So you can do everything you want to do. You can work harder than me. You can be smarter than me. You can do... But you know what? He's there. He's your partner. He's your partner in business. Sorry, I didn't create the rules. I didn't write that. That's a major issue. Financial integrity, to me, encompasses three things. And these are tough, okay? But there are two main points. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. This is what integrity means. And the state of being whole and undivided. It has to be resolved in you. It's not a sometimes or I'll catch up on my next payday type deal, because that next payday is going to have a greater percentage. You're just going to the arrears, and then you're just going to the throne asking for grace, and you just, you know, and you start over, and then you start confessing, you know, there's no condemnation, okay? You know, so it just, I'm not the one that reconciles the books, okay? I just know what the book says. Tithing is a major. Now, to him who knows to do good, does not, it is sin. For me, offerings fall into that category, okay? Because if the Holy Spirit is telling you, I just want, oh, by the way, I owe you $5. I just thought about that, okay? Okay. Yeah, afterwards, okay. Hallelujah. And you know why it's funny? You know why this is funny? Because when I get to point number three, that's going to come up, okay? So, it has to be in you to settle your accounts. You got to settle them and be real, okay? It doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit tells you to give somebody something, $2, or if he tells you when you're in the word shop and there's a kid and you know, you see this kid salivating and drooling all over the fact that there's some Mentos there or whatever it is. And you know what? I'm not here to judge people's appearances. I'm not here to get into your finances. But if mom and dad say no, then it's no. But if the Lord tells you provide, I don't care if it's 25 cents. It's that little York peppermint patty for a dime. If you don't do it, okay? You've held up a blessing for that kid, but you've held up your own blessing. It's everything. It's not just the tithe. We got to get beyond the tithe. The tithe is like, you know, I mean, how many people know you can have a good time at Disney if you have a ticket to get in, but you're going to have a great time if you can afford to go eat something and drink something, because it's going to be hot. Okay? I mean, you're not going to, and you know, when you're there, the girls want to walk around in the dresses, the boys want all the other stuff, and you know, if we made it to Disney, you're not really experiencing the fullness of what Disney has to offer. If you only tithe, you're not experiencing the fullness of what God's abundance has to offer. You're just not. And that has to be resolved in you. Number two. So there's tithes and offerings. Number two is the land that we live in. Now, I thank God, I do. I thank God for the United States of America. I became a citizen. That blue passport is, love it. Comes with taxes, though. Don't grumble and complain. Please, you have no idea what taxes are. You don't. I don't care what you make. You have no idea. Why do I say that? Well, I grew up in Germany. You know what taxes are in Germany? Any idea? 51. Gross income. Now, with your 49, with your 49%, every time you want to go buy something and consume something, there's a thing called a VAT, value-added tax. That's how we pay for health care, universal health care, okay? I don't want to get political, so I'm going to leave it alone. Any idea what that is? How much? Close. Anybody else? 25? No, you're going too high. Okay. 21. We got an 8.25%. Please, give me a break. 8.25? Okay, and my gross taxes are nowhere near that? Half? What are we complaining about? Seriously. Financial integrity, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Thank God that you live in the United States of America. Okay? Seriously. Who cares about these little chump change taxes that we pay? I mean, I don't like them. You know, it's like if you tell me, you know what, if you do this, then you can deduct that, I'm going to check that box, okay? I'm doing it legally. That, if you tell me what I got to do to go ahead and lower my taxes, I'm willing to do it. But I'm not going to begrudge the government for taxing me to provide services for our citizenry. That's ridiculous. So financial integrity is not only in terms of how you relate with your finances to God. It also relates to how you relate to your finances to government. Are you cheating? Are you fudging your numbers? Are you trying to get as close to the line? Like, what's that? What do we teach kids in elementary school about infinity? You get very, very close to the line without ever really touching it. You know, is that how we're doing with the tax code? We're trying to get as close we can without ever going over. The broad path of success in the tax code is so wide, you don't ever have to get over to the edges. Just do what you got to do. Because if you're focused on this, if this is your bullseye, you got a problem because you've taken your eyes off of that. This is insignificant to what God can do in your life if you're honoring him and he's blessing you. This is just a stumbling block. The third one is a little bit tougher. Given to Caesar is Matthew 22:20-21. The third one is real tough, okay? And I'll share a funny story about this because of what Glenn and I just went through a minute ago, okay? Because I'm like, I'm mindful of, I owe you $5. I don't want this money in my pocket no more, okay? You need to have that mindset as well. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to go off on a tangent and I'll come back to this for a second. Excuse me. When Cain slew Abel, everybody know the story? Yeah? What part of that story sticks out in your mind? Because there's lots of, you can go off on tons of tangents. You know, brother killed the brother. You know, all this. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. That you can go from that. That's not what haunts me. What else? Yes, ma'am. There you go. Okay, that's where I'm at. Okay, I mean, He shed innocent blood. The brother is dead, but his blood is testifying against him because of what was done. If it's true for blood, is it true for money too? The people that you get over on, that money is not yours. We already know that principle because God, with the tithe, said it's not yours. And there's consequences for not bringing it to the house. Well, if it's true, everything in the natural is a reflection of the kingdom. If it's true here, and I owe somebody something, isn't it true there too? Sometimes the reason that people struggle to get ahead is because they're not honest with the people that they owe money to. I don't mean just loans. Let me give you an example. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 27 through 28, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." That's a very big deal. And if you're going to get into business, I'm going to tell you what business is all about. Well, not all about, but a lot of times, okay? A lot of businesses need the float. I get it. I want to pay on a net 30. Bless you. Net 30 basically means I'm going to get the materials, I'm going to get the supplies, I'm going to get all the stuff to run my business, and I'm going to pay you 30 days later. Now, if that's what was agreed to, fine. That's how credit card companies work. But if on day 29, you're calling up, "Hey, man, look, I need another 30. Can we do a net 60 now?" You're robbing that person. You're robbing their reinvestment into their business. You're robbing them being able to pay their workers. How many people are calling out, praying about the fact that they don't have the money that they're supposed to have that you are supposed to honor and pay? If you're going to go into business and take care of your finances, the other one is others, people. Financial integrity is with God, government, and other people. You got to have all three. And if you want to be successful in business and you want to give God something to bless, honor other people. If you got contractors that are coming to your house, I get it. You know, I hear all the stories all the time. Man, they came over to my house, they messed my house up, they didn't finish my job. They didn't pay them. Pay them. Hold them accountable, but pay them. I'll give you an example. I'm going to tell you a personal story. This is when I was tearing up my house, the first house, okay? I didn't know nothing. I just knew absolutely nothing. Whatever. I think I probably had like a hammer and a flathead screwdriver. And I'm taking walls down, okay? And I got this contractor. His name, I don't want to say his name because you all may know him. Guy came referred to me, comes over, we'll call him Gus. And Gus comes over, and he works with me for the day. And he shows me how to frame up a wall and do some other kinds of things. Because I, you know, 16 on center, what is that? You know, I don't know. I didn't have a tape measure. So Gus works with me for the day. He goes, "Okay, we'll come back tomorrow after church, 2:00. I'll come over." Great, Gus. I'm looking forward to it. I really look forward to it. Appreciate you showing me things and whatnot. Sunday comes. Gus doesn't show up. Okay. Gus left his ladder, his tools, at my house. I'm calling Gus, trying to schedule when am I going to start working again. Gus doesn't return my phone calls. This goes on for weeks. Now, meanwhile, the Lord's like, "Why don't you just do something? You got some tools there now." So I'm like, okay, so I'll start working, and I'm doing stuff. And slowly but surely, I'm figuring it out. You know, I bought the Home Depot how-to book, you know. A year later, I see Gus. A year later, I see Gus at Home Depot. And I'm telling you, okay, you can't make this up, okay? I walk up to Gus. I say, hey, Gus, listen. I said, I don't know what happened. I don't know if you were embarrassed or something came up or whatnot. I said, but Gus, I still have your ladder. I still have your tools at my house. And I still want to pay you for your time that you were there. I said, why don't you come over tomorrow and come get your stuff, and I'll pay you. Okay, Sasha, I really appreciate it. Okay, cool. Next day, no Gus, okay? So I got this ladder, I got these tools, okay? And I'm like, Lord, what in the world? What's wrong with Gus? A year later, I kid you not, God is my witness, I'm telling you, a year later, I see Gus in Home Depot again. You think I'm kidding? This is the Lord has a sense of humor. No, but everybody at Home Depot knows me, okay? And we'll talk about that in real estate session about why. I see Gus, and I'm like, Gus. He's like, I said, Gus, listen, man, I still have your ladder. I've got your tools. I still want to pay you for your time, Gus. I said, why don't you come over tomorrow, and I'll get you your stuff. Sasha goes, you know what? You've been really good. I said, but Gus, if you don't show up tomorrow, you're giving me a ladder and all your tools, okay? I said, I've done this twice now. Okay, Gus never showed, okay? But doing right by people, I could have told Gus, just come get your stuff and I'm not paying you. That wouldn't have been right. Because Gus invested his time, his life at my house for one day. He deserved to get paid for that day until he basically disqualified himself from getting paid for that day by me going to the extra mile. You have to, or I'm going to encourage you, you don't have to, let me say this, you don't have to do anything that we talk about. You can operate however you want to, okay? I'm just telling you how I operate, what I've stumbled across, what works, what God blesses. He blesses me because I honor his word. I trust him. He blesses me because I honor my government and I pay my taxes. And he honors me and blesses me because I honor other people. I don't need to get an extra $10, $15 from somebody. Let me give you some examples of how this happens in the business community. We're going to have a landscaper come over and we're going to do some work, and there are some people who will remain nameless but are very famous in this community for doing these kinds of things. Give me a quote. That's a $3,000 job. Okay, great. So the person comes, they invest their time, they bring their workforce, and they do the job, and the job is done. Now they're ready to get paid. And they're like, well, you know what? I really don't like how this all flows. This is not really what I thought it was going to look like, but this is what we agreed to. But it's just not right. That looks to me like a $2,000 job. And people put the squeeze on people. That's not honoring God. That's not honoring people. And in the same vein as when Cain slew Abel, okay, trust me when I tell you, I believe personally, not new doctrine, just Sasha's beliefs, disclaimer, that wasted labor, that uncompensated time, and that lost wage is testifying against that individual. The same way that the tithe or the lack of bringing it into the house will testify against you. So if you're going to get in and going to be serious about money matters, if you're going to get your own personal financial house in order, if you're going to go ahead and start exercising and operating into the areas that God is calling you to be, launching those new businesses or whatever it is that you're called to do, have those things in mind. Number one, you've got the anointing. There's a reason you're being stirred. Number two, you got to analyze, can you do it yourself? What should you do? What shouldn't you do? Number three, you've got to have a divine conspiracy, knowing that all things work together for the good, and God is going to bless it, and God's going to, he wouldn't have gave you the idea otherwise. Number four, you got to have financial integrity. And financial integrity, again, the Lord, government, and people. I'm going to close with this. And it's interesting to me how this whole workshop and session and what pastor's been ministering on has tied to what we're talking about in different ways. But I'm going to challenge you today because next week we're going to talk about stewardship and accounting. And it just so happens that if I heard him correctly, unless the Holy Spirit changes some things for Sunday, okay, we're going to get a report on Sunday. When you listen to the report, I will tell you to do this at all, because this is all that I do. I sit back and I watch the ministry and see what they're doing, and I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? What are the themes here? How do I relate this back to me? How can I do what they're doing in my household? Listen for that this weekend, because you're going to see real life examples of that next week, okay? Because that's all we've done. So as an example, pastor's going to talk about my understanding. We used to call it the Good News Report. And it's an accounting of everything that came in, everything that went out. Here's what we did. Here's what we said we were going to do. Yep, we did that. Yep, we did that. Yep, we did that. This is what it cost. This is what we sold. This is this. This is that. Here's what's on the docket for the coming year. That's what is going to be on Sunday. And the annual audit, okay? With the government, non-qualified means it's clean, okay? That's what you're going to hear. Well, if you're listening to that and you start thinking, well, how does that apply to me? I'm going to give you a preview, sneak preview, okay? It's like, you know, the sequel's coming. You yourself can have a good news report for your family. You can have your good news report for your business. You can basically document and write that stuff down and report it back to your family members and talk about all the things that God has done in your life in the past year and what he told you to sow and what you did and the seed that's gone out. You can talk about that. That builds faith. But it also is a good benchmark and a reminder of what God is actually doing in your life, because there are going to be those times where you're going to sit back and say, I don't see him. I don't hear him. I'm out here on my own. That good news report is key. I did that 16, 17 years ago is when I started it. We're going to talk about how that looks next week, okay, a little bit. And then we're also going to have a presentation on QuickBooks. Accounting software to basically track the state of your flocks. Okay? So with the balance of our time, it's about 8:20. I just want to open it up to see if there's any specific questions from tonight. Yes, sir.
One thing. We talked about the tithe. Mm-hmm. And if you've tithed over a long period of time, because it's longevity. Tithing is longevity. And in that process, there's the protection of God. That is a true protection. Amen. Say you'd lose your credit card. Lose it. Happens thousands of times. But your credit card comes back to you and never been used. That's a protection.
Amen.
I leave it alone.
Amen. Amen. Any other comments, thoughts, questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have one. Gus came back again tonight.
He did?
Yes.
Okay.
Through financial integrity. He said, God first, the USA, and someone else. There's Gus.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I didn't even connect that, but I like it, you know. I might have to steal that. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, here and in the back.
I have a question in reference to other people.
Sure.
My background in real estate, they have an acronym, I guess, called Other People's Money, OPM.
Mm-hmm.
Does it fall into that category? category and the financial integrity part?
I think it does. I think at the end of the day, I mean, when you're using other people's money, credit cards, loans, private notes, whatever it is, okay, you are pledging to somebody else and they're agreeing to those terms, okay? So as long as you abide by those terms, then no problem. Now, there's also precedent throughout the scriptures where it's like, if those terms are egregious or onerous upon you, going back to that individual and trying to come up with new terms or relief, that's still honorable. What's not honorable is like, man, please, okay? Because I shared something in, I shouldn't do it here, but I will. There was a time years ago where I Lord, you take scripture and sometimes you twist it a little bit, you know, and it's like, I shall lend and not borrow, okay? So there were some businessmen in town, and they just needed some cash flow issues, some gap. I was like, yeah, you know, I called them. I created a whole program for myself. They're private notes. They were called Kingdom Loans, okay? And I went to the brother and said, hey, look, you know what? First, I just did it on the handshake and in the integrity. And then, you know, I talked to a friend of mine. They were like, don't you do that. Write it up. So I wrote it up, and we did promissory notes and the whole nine. And they were all honored. And then what happened was there was this one guy who came to me, and his business was at a precipice of being able to explode and take off because he was going for some significant contracts. And he just wasn't able to do it. So he asked me to give him a loan. And I prayed about it, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I listened for the answer, okay? I was like, this is a Kingdom loan, okay? Yes, we do this, okay? Yes, we will do this. So I did it. It was the largest loan that I'd ever made. And even today, it's significant money for me, okay? Now, for some of you, it may not be nothing, okay? But for me, it was a lot of money. Never been repaid. And, you know, I sat back and I was like, ugh. And then, you know, the challenge was that this individual wasn't an individual that wasn't outside of my network. They were in my network. They were in the subset of my network where we would get together every couple of weeks, and he would sit across the table from me. And I'm sitting back like, don't you know that you just, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. And I had to grow to the place where I had to say, Lord, I'm going to let my money testify. I'm going to release him. Work on him. And that's when you get all the other wisdom. You should never loan money that you can't afford to lose. That for me was like BC. Okay, this is AD knowledge now. But yes, I think if you have terms, if you're honoring those terms, great. It's the challenge that I have with financial integrity is when a person walks away, okay, and acts and pretends like they never did it. Like, you know, I have examples of people that I was and some people will know what I'm talking about. We were talking about this in one of our men's groups, and there was a family member that came to this individual and asked him for some money. And it's like, I need a couple $1,000 because I need to pay off my mortgage. I need to pay my mortgage down because they're going to come after my house. And the family member was like, didn't you just come back from the Caribbean last week? I mean, I was like, why are you coming to me when your vacation money? You want to pay your bills with my money, and you want to go have fun, okay? That's kind of weird, okay? So you got to just be led about that. And I think the common denominator for everything that in everybody who's a believer is line it up with the word. But even Jesus said, there's a lot that we don't know. That's why the helper shows up. And you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you have to know his voice, and you have to follow that leading. Sometimes it won't make sense, and sometimes it's going to be right on. But that's, to me, personally, you have to go back and renegotiate those terms. Yes, sir.
Your tithe, okay? 10% of every single dollar that comes in,
mm-hmm.
or say, for example, you have rentals and you net a certain amount,
mm-hmm.
okay, then that is your actual income that goes into that equation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you literally take 10% off of every rent check you get? Or do you take the net?
I love this question. Okay, now first off, let me say this. I am not here to be the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? I refuse to do that. And most people that I know will not tell you gross or net. That's for you and the Lord, okay? But since you asked me, okay, I'm simple, okay? I'm a dumb sheep, okay? So and I'll show you when we get to the real estate section, okay? I may pull this slide out, but here's what I do. How many people can cook? Okay, put your hand down. How many of you cook according to recipes? Okay, I do. Okay, so if the recipe calls for 3 cups of this, okay, a half of teaspoon, okay, of that, and 1 tablespoon of this, okay, me, I get my teaspoon out, I get my tablespoon out, and I get my cup out, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready, okay? I'm simple, I'm a dumb sheep. To me, for me, not for you, disclaimer, tithe. I don't have the capacity to do anything apart from God. The fact that I have a job is because of the grace of God. The fact that I have real estate is because of the grace of God. The fact that I have as much as I do is because of the grace of God. So here's unit 1, unit 2, unit 3, on down. If it's $600 a month here, I have an Excel spreadsheet. 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. Remember the order that I put things in first. I said, you have to honor God, you have to honor the government. In that order. So, yes, the government is going to tax me on all this. God's first. I give him his cut right off the top. Are there times that puts me behind? Yes, but you know what? God has never failed me. Ever failed me. And the fact that you're talking about a paper boy, at the age of 24, 25, to the age of 47, pretty soon it's going to be something else. But for that trajectory to happen in my life, not from Syracuse, not from a family of means, not with any understanding of how to do this, other than the fact that the Lord told me, you will own property, you will provide above market quality, and you will charge below market rent. Until 4 or 5 years ago, I charged $450 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment and prospered. That's why. If you want to do something else or you feel led to do something else and he's praise God. For me, I'm just going to stick with what works for me. Okay? And today, I mean, I remember, and I'll share this, and I wasn't going to share this, but I will. When I was 24 years old, I remember standing in the sanctuary, and there was a young lady. We had a small contingent of people that came from Syracuse University. And one of those people was Dr. Fulford, Dr. Cynthia Fulford, before she was even going for a master's degree. And Cynthia and I were sitting over there. You know where pastor always sits, and you go back into the prep room back there? I'll never forget it. I stood there, and I was talking to Cynthia, and we were talking about tithes and offerings. And I said, you know, Cynthia, I said, listen, I said, I tithe. You know I tithe. She was like, yeah, and da, da, da. I said, but let me tell you something. I said, I'm a giver. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, Cynthia, I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, the day is coming where I'm going to give $100 in an offering the same way that I do 10. The day is coming where I'm going to give $1,000 in an offering like I will 100. The day is coming where I'm going to give $10,000 the way that I will give 1,000. I was speaking that out 20 years ago. I'm living that. Why am I living that? Because I put him first. And he honors his word. His word will not return to him void. Period. So what do you do with that? I don't know. Okay, I know what I do with that, but you know, everybody gets to make those decisions themselves. Because when we all go up, I don't know if the primary conversation is going to be about tithing. It's going to be about, Sasha, what were you thinking all these years? You know, what were you saying? What were you doing? And we're going to have other kinds of conversations. I want to just eliminate one of the topics. Okay, Lord, you know, that's the line for the tithing. Okay, I will be over here. Okay, we're good. Okay. But that's just me. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, well, I thank you for your time. We went 2 minutes over.